This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good morning. A very warm welcome on what feels like a chilly morning to The Performance Habit. It's great to have you with me again. For those who are new to the show, this show is all about exploring practical ways that you at home can feel your best, however you define it, so that you can get the most out of life. My hope is that at the end of every episode, you'll have some practical tips that you can use to make life that little bit less stressed and more happy and joyful for you. I'm Josie Askin, a behaviour change specialist and performance coach from Spring Coaching. When I'm not on the show, I work with busy professionals to help them think and perform more clearly under pressure by giving them practical habits and tools that make their work feel easier and more sustainable. Now, over the last few months, we've talked a lot about goals. We've talked about how to set goals successfully. We've also talked a little bit about how to build a system to deliver on the goal repeatedly and accurately, and how to keep going when motivation drops off, when life gets busy or a little bit more challenging, because let's face it, that happens to all of us. But today, I want to talk about something that impacts everyone, because if there's one thing that's constant in this world, it is change. We can be humming along quite nicely and then wham, bam, out of the blue, it can feel as though everything has changed. And while sometimes we actively go out looking for change, like a promotion at work or changing companies or even a career, or maybe in your personal life it could be something small like a new outfit, a new hairdo, or something bigger like moving house or to a new town or country, or initiating the end of a relationship. Sometimes the change though can be unexpected. Like it happens to us. And maybe at work it's like a colleague or staff member leaving, a change of reporting line or even a redundancy. And in your home life it could be the loss of a partner, parent, family member or friend even. Or a change in what you're able to do following injury or illness. Or maybe a major life transition with children leaving home. Or, like for some of us, moving through perimenopause into menopause. Well, I think, you know, most of us can probably agree that change by choice is infinitely better than change happening to us. Regardless of the motivation or reason behind the change, change always brings a degree of uncertainty. You never really know what's going to happen because it's change. You haven't been in this exact place before, so you can't predict. And for some of us, uncertainty can bring up feelings of stress, overwhelming anxiety, think racing heart, clammy hands, that kind of really icky, yucky tummy feeling where you just feel like you want to throw up or you want the ground to swallow you up. And right now, it does feel particularly relevant to talk about change and uncertainty because there's a lot happening locally, nationally, and also on a global scale. I know just these last couple of weeks here in Wairarapa and also other parts of the Motu, we've had some extreme weather that's led to severe flooding. And on a smaller scale, there were some roads closed. But on a bigger scale, homes and properties were affected and people's lives were literally turned upside down overnight. The sun, it would have felt like it came out of the blue with little warning. And of course, at the same time, there's global conflict that's leading to uncertainty and rising costs. Petrol and diesel prices have skyrocketed. Even our household essentials like food, power and insurance, they've all increased as well. And, you know, those lucky enough to have trips and holidays planned, they face uncertainty as well. Is it worth travelling at the moment or should they stay home? And of course, there's still a number of job cuts as well. So there's economic and job uncertainty. The job market is still really, really tough out there. I know there are thousands of talented, clever, skilled people unable to secure work despite trying their hardest. I had a friend recently say how much she missed 2018 because it seemed like such a kind of easy, happy time back then pre-COVID. The world just felt like a more settled place. So yes, there is a lot going on. It's been going on now for a while. It's understandable if things are feeling a bit heavy and tense at the moment, especially given Much of what I've described is outside of our direct control. And let's be honest, we are amazing, but as amazing as we all are, and despite our best intentions, we do not yet have the power to deliver world peace, stop world famine, or prevent global warming. It's just not within our scope. It's just not something we can do ourselves. The difficulty, though, is if we allow ourselves to dwell on the things outside of our control, like the ongoing Middle East conflict and the global tension, the actions of a certain president who will remain nameless, global warming, climate change, and of course all the extreme weather that I've already talked about, even the reliability of the train service. Something shifts, and I don't know if you've noticed in yourself at home, but I certainly find that as I was rattling off all of these challenges and uncertainties that are happening in the world, physically I started to shrink myself. My shoulders crept up, my shoulders hunched forward, and it was like I was making myself smaller. And that is what we do. The more time and energy we focus on things outside of our control, the smaller, more powerless, and helpless we feel. We begin to feel like we're at the mercy of other people. We start to feel like life is happening to us, almost as though we're like a puppet on a string and people are kind of making us move through the life. And so we begin to wait for change and we just react to it rather than being proactive and going towards change. And very quickly, that can turn into a bit of a habit because while it's not nice to feel small, the alternative can be harder because then we're actively looking for uncertainty, we're actively looking to make ourselves feel uncomfortable. And who wants that? Because it's also possible that we may not even realize that we're doing it. Because it becomes so common, to sit around on a Wednesday night and have a wine and a wine. Misery loves company. Or maybe we tell ourselves that everything is a crisis, that we're jumping from fire to fire because we're just so busy. Our lives are so busy. Or maybe we tell ourselves that there's just a lot going on at the moment and later on it will settle down. Some of us might even comfort ourselves by thinking that if we focus on all that big stuff, the stuff outside of our control, that we're preparing ourselves. That we're staying ahead of the game. We're planning for every possible outcome, thinking through every scenario. But the more we try to grip everything all at once, the more overwhelming it can feel. I'm going to suggest actually that we take a deep breath because I've described a lot of kind of very heavy stuff right now, and while it's very common patterns, it can really drain your energy. So, what are we actually going to do with all of this? How are we going to get out of this anxiety-inducing rabbit hole that can often leave us feeling overwhelmed and helpless? Thankfully, there is a really simple tool that I use regularly both for myself, I am a bit of an overthinker, but also with the people that I work with. And it comes from Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it's actually his very first habit, which is be proactive. So at its core, what this habit is all about, be proactive, is about taking responsibility for how we respond to life. So it's not about trying to control everything or even trying to fix everything. Instead, what this habit boils down to is recognizing that we always have a choice. Or to quote Michelle Pfeiffer in the classic movie Dangerous Minds, it's one of my favorites. I know I'm really showing my age there, but it's a fantastic movie. There's a scene where she's in front of the classroom and they're talking about how they don't have choices. And she says, "Nobody's forcing you to be here. You have a choice. You can stay or you can leave." She talks about how, they may not be good choices, good options, but they still have a choice. And even more powerful, she finishes off her speech to the class saying, "There are no victims in this classroom." So what this boils down to is that there is always a choice. But recognizing that we always have a choice available to us in the heat of the moment can be a hard thing. The key thing to realize is that we're not just shaped by what happens to us, we're shaped by how we respond to it. And language really matters here. When we say things like, "I can," "I could," "I choose," "I will," this reflects a sense of agency, power, and control, and choice. You're choosing. But when we say things like, "I have to," or "I can't," or "maybe there's nothing I can do," or one that I hear a lot, the people that I work with is, "I should," That tends to be a more reactive fix, almost a helpless mindset. And the interesting thing is that the language that we use, the things that we say, actually reinforces the mindset over time. Now, mindset is a massive, massive big topic, which I could spend hours talking about, but let's save that for another day. I did mention, though, about the word should, and I want to reflect on this because I work with a lot of people who have a lot of shoulds in their life, and all of these shoulds really weigh them down. They do often go with the territory of the people that I work with. Often, when you're driven and ambitious, you put a lot of pressure on yourself. So, things like, I should work through my lunch break to get this work done. I should go for that promotion just to show that I'm motivated. I should put my hand up more. I should wake up at 5 a.m. and do all these amazing things. But they get so caught up in all the shoulds that they feel like they can't move forwards. And sometimes for them, the easiest switch is a small reframe. So rather than say, I should work through my lunch break, it changes it to, I could. Subtle, but now there's a choice. I could go for that promotion rather than I should. Or I could put up my hand more. Now, again, it's all about that choice. So, in Stephen Covey's book, he actually talks about two circles, the circle of influence and the circle of concern. Now, when I'm working on this model, I add a third circle, and that's the circle of control. So, I want to talk you through each circle, what they represent, because this is an activity that I do with my clients that I hope will also be helpful for you. So, the first circle, control. Imagine there's an inside circle, like the inside of the donut. And control is really simple. It's what you do. It's what you choose. It's what you choose to have for breakfast. It's whether you choose to have, in my case, one or two squares of chocolate in your coffee, what you choose to wear, what you say. It also includes where you give your attention. It's about your next decision, your behavior in that moment. So often the stuff within the control is small, immediate, and it's yours. You own it. Influence, so that's like the second circle, so maybe the outside of your donut. That's where things get a little bit more murky, but it's where most things in life sit. So you don't have direct control over it like you do over what you say or your actions, but it's not nothing either. You do have some control here, you have some influence, and it's a space where your behavior shapes outcomes over time. So, a classic example. You can't control what your partner, children, colleagues, manager, friends, neighbor, person that lives down the street does. But you can influence them through your own actions, how you choose to show up and how you respond to them. Another classic one, particularly for those like me who may be going through perimenopause, you can't make yourself, you can't force yourself to have a blissful 8 hours sleep when you lie your head down on the pillow. You can't make that happen, but you can influence it by having a set bedtime, a bedtime routine, how late you allow yourself to stay up scrolling on your phone, maybe what you eat or drink before bed, the temperature of your room, all of those things will influence how well you sleep, but you can't make yourself sleep. You also can't control traffic, but you can influence whether or not you're going to be late for a meeting by what time you leave and your choice of transportation. And of course, you can't control whether or not a meeting runs over time, whether it be due to people going off on tangents or maybe they come unprepared, so they have to kind of loop around and around and around. But you can influence meetings by making sure that you're prepared, that you're organised. Maybe depending on your role, by having a clear agenda. And if there's somewhere else you need to be afterwards, being upfront about your time boundaries for that particular meeting. And while you can't control the weather, and how much rain may fall, you can always influence how prepared you feel for extreme weather events by ensuring that you have things organised ahead of time, like having a go bag, maybe a charged up battery bank, maybe it's turning on those alerts in case you need to evacuate. So, where you can't control how someone else shows up, you can influence how they behave by your tone and how you show up. And I have to say, people often underestimate how much influence they have, how big the circle of influence is. And influence does build over time, but it's not immediate, but it's really, really powerful. And the interesting thing about both the circle of control and influence is that the more attention and focus we give to things that fall within these two circles, the bigger our world becomes, it becomes more expansive. It's like the opposite of what I was talking about when I said about my shoulders creeping up and being hunched over. We feel more powerful, and it's like we can take on the world. It's really empowering concern. So that's everything else that's outside the circles. So concern is everything we care about, but we don't have control or meaningful influence over. And I've already touched on some of these already at the start. We talked about weather system, global events, fuel and diesel prices, technology changes, the use of AI, all the unknown stuff, things that happen in the background of life. And as I said, when we focus on all of this stuff, our world begins to feel very small, or we feel small within our world. It's like we don't have control or influence over anything. We lose our sense of agency. Now, when I work with individuals and teams, I often take them through this exercise. And within the program page, I'll definitely drop in a link so that you can download the very tool that I use with my clients and the teams that I work with so that you can do it yourself at home. What I'll do is I'll ask them to map out everything that's currently taking up headspace, anything that kind of keeps in the way at night, just to dump it all out on a piece of paper, whether that be tasks or worries or pressures that they may have, even frustrations, all of it, just whatever is there. And that in itself is very therapeutic, by the way, just to get things out of the head. Often what you'll find is that if you leave them inside your head, they play on repeat, like on this continuous loop. So it feels like there's more stuff than there actually is. So tip number one, just kind of bleh, get all that stuff in your head out on paper. That's the first thing that they find. They're quite surprised by that. And then I ask them to map it to the three circles. So I ask them to kind of identify what of all that stuff is within their control, what of all that stuff do they have influence over, and then what's left over that goes into concern. And this is based on their interpretation, not mine, is what they think they have control and influence over. And that's really important to recognize as well. So by doing this exercise, as I said, there's usually a few surprises. One, they realize how therapeutic it is just to get the stuff out of their head and onto paper. Often there's less stuff than they thought there was, but often there's more stuff in the circle of control and influence that they realize. And so what they come away from this exercise thinking is, wow, there's actually stuff I can do something about. There are things I have influence over. And they realize that they've been carrying a lot mentally without realizing. So then from there, I ask them to look at their circles of control and influence. And I ask them to pick one thing that's within their control influence to focus on, the thing that they think would deliver the best bang for buck. And you might remember, oh, I think it was a couple of episodes earlier, I talked about a focus mapping activity that helps you work out which actions will deliver the best bang for buck. Sometimes we then go through that as well. But I ask them to focus on just one thing to focus on, not everything, not even 10 or 5 things, just one. Because one small action is often enough to get momentum back. And when people do that, even just something small, something really changes in them. I've already talked about physically in me how my shoulders creep up. I find that when my clients and the teams that I work with just pick on one thing and they start to work on that one thing, physically they change. They sit taller, their shoulders go back. It's almost like they've given themselves the best ever pep talk before a hot date or going in for a job interview. It's like they're saying to themselves, yeah, I've got this. Because they do. There's this one action that they have control and influence over. Gives them power. It gives them agency. So what's going on here? While they're taking back control of their lives, they're reminding themselves that they do have a choice. Now, if you've ever read, there's this really harrowing, dramatic, but amazing book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. You'll know exactly where I'm going here. In the book, Frankl reflects on his own experiences as a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp. Hence what I mean when I said it's a very kind of heavy, harrowing book. So he experiences extreme suffering and cruelty. It's awful reading through what he went through. But in the story, there's this really key message that there are always going to be forces beyond our control that can take everything away from us except for one thing. No matter what happens, you'll always have the freedom to choose how you respond to the situation. So while you cannot control what happens to you in life, you can always control what you will feel and do about what happens to you. So one of the most famous lines from the book is that everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. So let me repeat that everything can be taken away from a man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. And that's this idea of agency and free will. We don't always control what happens, but we can control how we meet and respond to it. And that's the space between stimulus and response. And that's where our behavior lies. That's where our choice lives. As I said, it is a bit of a heavy book, but it's a fantastic read. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. But for now, let's come back to everyday life and kind of wrap this up. So while lots of things may happen to you in your life, and I really hope nothing as awful as what happened to Viktor Frankl in that concentration camp, you have a choice. You always have a choice in the response that you make. So while you can't control the outcome, you can control your responses. You can't control fuel prices, but you can control how often you drive or how you plan around it. You can't control whether you're picked for that next role. And as I said at the start, I know that the job market's really tough out there. But you can control the care and attention you give to tailoring your CV and your cover letter. Just like elite athletes can't control whether or not they'll win the next race or game, but they can control their training, nutrition, recovery, and mindset. So when you make the switch, will you stop fighting against uncertainty and change and instead focus on what you do know and what you do have control over? Everything changes. You realize that rather than burning precious time and energy on things that don't move us forward, you can focus on those that do. You start to feel more kind of steady, more adaptable, but also less reactive, and ultimately more confident in your future. So the invitation for this month, until we meet again, is just to notice where your attention goes. Do you focus on those things within your control or influence? Or the things outside, things of concern, things that you don't have control over. And then just pick one thing that you can actually control. And it might be as simple as when you catch yourself saying should next time, that you change that should to a could. Because remember, not everything needs to be solved, but something can always be done. You do always have a choice. And if you want to know more about performing consistently under pressure, whether that is within your team at work or in a leadership position or just at home, please don't hesitate to get in touch. I love talking about this sort of thing. You'll find my contact details in the program page. And as I said, I always love to chat. Thank you again for listening to The Performance Habit. I hope today's episode has given you something that you can use to help you during this time of great uncertainty, of great change. Until next time, kia kaha.